Hi everyone, I'm Brad Guys.
And I'm Adam Pringer.
And we are Fanboys. Episode 19 of We Are Fanboys. Adam, what is going on?
I'm ready to talk about some games.
I mean, it is the first segment.
I guess the first one that I'll mention is Pokemon. Been playing that still. I talked to some guy who had played it for... He was claiming he had beaten it in 18 hours.
I wasn't that far off of that, Adam.
Really?
I would say it probably took me, conservatively, maybe 30. I mean, I told you on text, you know, just a couple hours ago, I was over 100 hours, but most of that's just sleep mode from PAX. I mean, I had it running almost 24 hours a day at PAX.
You did. I would say probably, I'm at 47 almost, and I'd say about 15 of that might be sleep mode.
Right. I mean, but you probably weren't trying to power through like that. You actually take the time to enjoy games.
Yeah, I do. That's true. I still talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I mean, look, man, the story ain't deep.
Actually read it. I know, but I don't know.
It's not a deep story, but it's still pretty good. I don't know. At least this version is probably the most interesting.
So far. There's certainly things going on in it that are better than some previous Pokemon games that I've played.
Yeah, you could tell they set out this time to really try to break the monotony of what we know Pokemon to be.
Yeah, and I don't know if we mentioned this ever. I mean, have we talked about Pokemon at all?
No, because we didn't record before we went to PAX and we got it, you know.
All right, well, there you go. So what I enjoy a lot about the game is the structure of it, where in Diamond and Pearl, you could easily get lost in what to do next.
In all Pokemon, if you really think about it, man, all the games were like that. They had their Zelda moments.
I never really had that big of a problem with it. In the first one, and I was much younger. I wasn't as smart as I am now. And there were parts in Diamond when I was playing Pearl where I just was completely lost.
Well, these games have less of go find item A to move Pokemon or get rid of, you know, said roadblock.
Yeah, but there's still, like, you know, beat a gym, do a side quest, maybe do a couple of them, beat another gym.
Right, but the gyms are a lot cooler this time.
The gyms are cooler. I enjoy the more modern take on the gyms where they're almost like a puzzle.
Yeah, that and just the fact that they're all in, like, everyday places like restaurants.
Yeah.
And, like, museums and stuff like that. That's pretty cool.
But as far as, like, what I was trying to say is that, like, when you're supposed to be doing something, they do a good job of blocking you off and not letting you go do other stuff when you're supposed to be doing something else.
That's true. Like, they'll let you travel down some later routes if you want to try and battle people that are a little above you. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to make it that far. Eventually they stop you and you realize, I'm going the wrong way.
Well, there was one point where I was going to go past and go into the next town, because I like to do that, and somebody stopped me and told me that I needed to go in another direction, and...
Right, kind of how, like, in all the Pokemon games in the beginning, when you try to leave your town early, there's always somebody there to stop you. They have a lot of... I guess it's kind of making it a little more casual, honestly, man. Just more streamlined. That's kind of the whole thing about this game. Everything's more streamlined.
Yeah, I mean, It's definitely, well, it seems like if you follow the story, it's going to be a little bit more linear. I guess they're always really linear, but more so this time. But it still has the, you know, super open-endedness after you beat the game.
Yeah, and even, for sure. There's more towns to find and stuff. It seems to have a pretty deep after game.
And I was telling you that I discovered the battle subway today, which
right.
seems like you could waste a lot of time in that.
Yeah, it's basically the Battle Frontier, but with a cooler setting.
Yeah, I never did the Battle Frontier, so...
Yeah, you weren't missing that much. I don't know if you noticed this when you're battling. It seems to me, like, I've always had my techs on super high, but even more than that, it seems like the more you're mowing through your opponents, it seems like the engine speeds up as it goes. I don't know if you ever noticed that.
What do you mean?
Like, let's say you're mowing through somebody, like you're taking on a bunch of, you know, ground guys and you're rolling straight water and you're just going to use waterfall over and over again. You know, when you get in repetition like that, it seems to me like the engine picks up speed. Like, besides the actual attack, everything else goes way faster. Like the clicking between, you know, all the menus between where you're clicking and choosing the attack and just even the time it takes for the attack to actually get up to the point where it happens. It seems like that gets faster and faster to the point where, like, if I keep hitting A, I'm basically not even seeing any menus. And I don't remember any of the engines being that fast. It seems like it's probably just my imagination, but I swear it seems like it picks up speed as you mow through guys. Which is nice, because for grinding, you know, that's kind of what you're just going to sit there and hit one button for a long time without that much thought. You know, when you're just straight grinding your guys up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it seems like they even took that into account, let alone, like, the way they do rain or elemental changes in general. And what else is just, like you said earlier, how everything seems to point the way you need to go. There is exploring, but there's not that much thought involved in it, I guess. It just kind of feels like it's all part of the game, like you're doing what you're supposed to do, even if you're off the path a little.
Yeah, I was told that the hidden machines, that they're not really that often required to go through the game to go from town to town, but more so to go to side areas.
True. Eventually, there will be opportunities where you need it, but they did take away a lot of that. I always have to leave 1 to 2 slots open, you know, while I'm traveling, because I got to have my guy that can, you know, I use like a water flying guy, so I'll have somebody that can surf and fly, and then I have another guy kicking around with cut and strength and all that. It seems like a lot of that's been done away with. You can get away with just, you know, if you like to be able to go back and heal all the time, just having somebody that can fly, so you can roll with 5.
Mm-hmm.
And plus they gave... I don't know how it is. You're playing black, right, Adam?
Yeah, I am.
I'm playing white. I don't know how it is on black, but they gave me a lucky egg super early in the game. Like,
I don't have one yet, but...
But you got the experience share really early, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, see, I think that might be a difference in the game.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I got the lucky egg probably before the third gym. I mean, it's really early, which is, you know, totally sped up leveling for me in the game. I didn't get experience share until much later.
Huh. That's kind of cool that they're different like that.
It's also cool that I kind of wish they would have gave me an amulet coin as well. But then again, honestly, money was not really an issue throughout the whole game.
Yes.
So I guess it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it'd be nice if I could buy some of that more expensive stuff, right? You know, be able to grind for it easier and get it right off the bat. But it's not a big deal. I think I've got like 5 amulet coins on... I'm platinum, so I'll be able to trade them over as soon as I can bring my guys over.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you, what are your thoughts on the game? I know you kind of fizzled out on, would you have a heart gold?
I kind of fizzled out on both, the platinum I had, the pearl that I had, and heart gold.
Right.
And before that, the last game I played before that was,
yellow.
Maybe one of the silver.
You definitely played yellow.
I think yellow was the last one that I played before that. So
You skipped a bunch of generations then.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I'm liking it a lot, actually.
I feel like it's definitely a nice refresh, and I mean, I know it's kind of gimmicky, but just the visual engine alone was it was just a welcome change, man. It was nice to see a little more animation while we were playing. I like how it still kept the pixel style.
Yeah.
But it feels like a bigger world just because of all the crazy camera pans and everything.
The battle engine is really nice. I wouldn't say it really. It's just a nice thing to have. It doesn't really add to the game much. I guess it makes battling look a little bit more interesting, seeing you move around. It would be nice if you could if in the next engine you can actually like see items that Pokemon are holding.
That would be cool, and it would be nice if they actually really did the attacks and actually, you know, look like they're being hit by the attacks.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know that's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of Pokemon, so that's a lot of animation to do, but I don't know. It seems to me like they could do it if they really...
They could probably tweak this engine a bit and make it look like that.
I would think
so. I don't know if they're even going to use this engine again.
How do you feel about the new attacks? I don't know if you've noticed any of them.
I mean, I don't really know that much about attacks, so I really can't say whether or not I know much of. I've noticed that some attacks do different things now, but as far as new attacks, I'm not really sure what they are.
Well, they have the ones that stood out to me are the ones where if you're affected by a certain status, like out of three, like it'll say like sleep, poison, or paralysis, or maybe sleep, burn, something like that, or a particular one, like there's a poison attack called I think it's called Venus Shock, and if you hit your opponent with that and they're already poisoned, it doubles the attack. It's a poison attack and it doubles, so it goes up to 100 with 100 accuracy, I believe, maybe a little bit more. I think that's kind of interesting, because I was wondering if they were going to be able to do anything kind of new that way. So I like that there's double benefits now to having statuses on people, because I mean, you know how I play. I like a lot of that status stuff.
Mm-hmm. You certainly do.
There's also one other new attack I noticed that I feel is long overdue is there's finally a way to block your opponent from healing using like heal, you know, like Moonlight or I forget what the grass move is called that heals, but you know what I'm saying, recover, any of that stuff. There's an actual mm-hmm. move now to block you using those moves. I think that's pretty interesting, because you can get into some battles online where you're both just sitting there recovering over and over again. It'd be interesting to make an anti-heal team, and it, you know what I mean, and exploit that.
Yeah, that's you're way more into battle strategy than I am. Certainly, I just like to attack.
I'm hoping you might get, if this game holds your interest, you might get into it a little deeper than, I don't know. I don't seem like it. That's too crazy of a.
It's just way more than I do. I pretty much only care about attacks.
I hear you. Yeah, I get into it a little bit deep. I mean, if you just go straight power, you will be able to defeat a lot of people, but you might have trouble with some guys that are a little more crafty. So you got to kind of plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my focus is having a diverse set of attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And having a diverse team, that's really the only thing I focus on.
So you like to be able to cover all your bases as far as like elements and your weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
and exploit like super effectives?
Yes, that's pretty much my main focus.
There's that other, I don't know if this is actually new, I believe it is, there's that attack Lucky Chant that makes it so you cannot be critical damaged as well. That's kind of cool too. It's like a play on the weaker attacks like Leer and String Shot, things that like lower, you know what I mean? It like mm-hmm. lowers their, see, I get bored with those attacks. I kind of like, this is kind of like a newer, like more advanced version of that in my head. So those are like the few attacks so far that really stood out to me.
Yeah. So other than that, it's all good. I wish that they would have made use of like the 3D world stuff more.
Yeah, it's you mean as far as it being
having like turning camera angles and stuff. All that's really cool. It's just most of the time when you're like a normal town or
it's sparse is what you're saying.
And the whole beginning of the game didn't use it at all.
Now, what about I don't know if you noticed the cutscenes that the engine kind of just blends right into them. Have you seen anything like that? Yeah, I thought that was pretty.
Those, was pretty cool. And then there's like those chat things where it's like you're using your C gear, I guess.
Yeah, the Xeno something with an X. I forget, Xenograph or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We never did try doing the video chat. Although I don't really see the point of that. I guess I could have went and stood in the hallway of the hotel or something and we could have.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be much of a point to it.
So we did the IR friend exchange though, and that was really awesome. Just it was like it took like what a second to swap our information.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool.
And I could do that even before I had my pal pad.
Yeah, and I kind of wish that they would have I wish they would have used that thing for the Pokewalker still too, but I guess I'm kind of glad they had all those cards. They might as well still use it, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a cool use for it. I wish the Walker still worked with it as well. It's kind of lame. I also wish that you could still have a Pokemon that's visual as you walk around. I don't know why they wouldn't have kept all that stuff.
I feel like they have all the engines for it still, because there's still Pokemon wandering around in the world.
Yeah, for sure. So, I don't know. Maybe they didn't feel like doing the individual animations for the new guys. I don't know. I just wish they would have kept that in. I know it's kind of silly, but it's one of the things that I really liked about Yellow, and I was happy, you know, when they said they were putting it back in. I didn't realize it was going to be kind of a gimmick thing for one game.
Yeah. Although Gold and Silver kind of seems like it was full of gimmicks.
That's true. But for old school fans like me, though, it was great. I really enjoyed that game.
But I guess we pretty much covered all our bases on Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll have some more stuff to talk about as we keep playing, but that's good for now. We don't want to get too spoilery just yet.
Yeah, plus there's a lot of time on it. So I was also playing, I guess the next game I played was Okami, didn't?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And I'm about three and a half hours into that.
And I'm only like an hour into it, so.
But I'm just impressed that I feel like I'm playing Okami pretty much. It's slightly different, but it's close enough to where I'm fairly impressed with the fact that I'm playing it on a DS.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It does feel like they just shrank the game down, made the camera lock a little. And put the world on the DS, basically.
I know, and it's probably some of the best 3D I've seen on a DS.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hesitant to say it's the best, but it might be.
I think it's partially due to the art style that it's going for.
Right, it does make it a lot easier. I mean, there's some other 3D games that it doesn't look as blocky, man, just because they were able to keep that brushstroke feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of why it really, like, pops. And plus, it's, like, really bright, and the colors are, you know, they have good deepness to them. And I don't know, it looks really good. It's not as good as the Wii, obviously, but it's pretty close. Yeah.
But, you know, it's been pretty good so far. It's got the same kind of very loose structure that Okami has. I mean, we've talked about it before, of like the blending between dungeons and non-dungeon areas, and it seems to retain that same feel to it. There's some new characters in it so far. Mm-hmm. They're all good. And I'm not really that far into it. I did notice that there's no animal feeding anymore, so you don't have to have your pouch full of like seeds and stuff.
Which is a bummer, in my opinion.
A little bit. Although that didn't really add much to the game other than getting to watch a horse eat food.
As in Matrix, camera panned around you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, it was fun finding them. I don't know. I'm a dork.
But
I like
there's
the animals.
There's other stuff that this game has that the other one didn't. And also, did you Like, how far are you in the game? I mean, you're not that far, so it's not that spoilery, I think.
Yeah, I'm barely. I'm in the town that you start off in Okami, so I'm really not far at all.
I can say that the ability to draw lines for the person who's riding your back to like walk like a path, like a walking path, reminds me a lot of Spirit Tracks.
Okay. Well, like when you're doing the armor with Zelda.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny that it's once again stealing stuff from Zelda, sort of. But it's like stealing from a DS game and then applying it to the DS version of Okami. I thought that was funny, and it's cool too.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, if there's good mechanics, I mean, built within the same kind of game, I mean, why not? I know a lot of people complain, you know, that Okami is just Zelda or, you know, blah blah blah, but it's like it's an homage to Zelda. I mean, it's taking the things it does right and then building upon it. That's how Okami was to me.
Yeah, I never complained that it was just a ripoff. It's definitely doing different things and just borrowing from some certain aspects, I guess. Yeah,
I mean, I was talking to our mutual friend about it earlier, and I said that Okami is the best action adventure game on the Wii right now until Skyward Sword comes out and changes my mind. I mean,
which it most likely will.
I think so, but Twilight Princess isn't. I like Twilight Princess, but not as much as Okami. It's just, you know, because I finally finished regular Okami this weekend, and it's great. And I can't wait to really dive into Okami then, just because I want more Okami.
Well, what's been keeping you from doing so?
Monster Tail.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, man, it's just so good. I mean, I really, really liked Henry Hatsworth. I was obsessed with that game when it came out. I mean, that's pretty much all I played. I put everything else on hold. And I don't know, this one, so far, it's even more fun to me because it's like they added some Mega Man into my Henry Hatsworth, you know what I mean?
There was already a bit of Mega Man in there.
Yeah, but I was more about the blade combos and everything in that game, trying saving the specials for the bosses. In this game, I feel like I can use my gun a lot more freely and not without consequence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you can earn back your blast thing
pretty easily. I mean, it takes like no effort at all. The animation's awesome. I love all of her new... This is a little spoiler, but these are, like, the first two things you get. I love all of her, like, roll attacks.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really cool. Her lower melee attack, she rolls out first, and it doesn't really do anything. If anything, it actually puts you in a little more danger, but I don't know. It feels really cool when you do it, and it looks really cool. So, I like all that stuff. I like how it's melee and then, you know, shooting mixed together. And the the monster aspect of it is really cool.
Yeah, it's actually a bit overwhelming because there's so many different forms that it can evolve into. And
yeah, I've kind of been bouncing around. I've got like four or five unlocked. I've been bouncing around between them.
Yeah, and, I've stuck to the first set of evolutions. I haven't even gone past those yet because I'm just trying to earn new skills and traits from leveling up those early ones.
Right. And it's cool how you can focus on, you know, you can even buy the items that level it up and just focus on that. Like I've just been focusing on books. Basically I'll buy like 20 books and have them read all those. And then he levels up and I don't know. It's kind of hard to really put this game into a category. When you're doing just a straight platform and stuff, it's, you know, it's a platformer. It's a little unique, as in, like I was saying before, her moves are a little unique. But, I mean, when you add the monster into it and he's going around attacking by himself and, you know, you're pulling him down to do special attacks and stuff, it's, I don't know, it really opens up the game and it's like nothing else I've really played. It's kind of, it's like playing a platformer but like you're playing Phantasy Star and you have your little I forget the names of those things.
The mag.
Yeah, you have your little mag running around with you on top of that.
It is kind of like that, actually. Yeah, I mean, that's all good. I actually haven't bought my monster any items. I've been focusing on upgrading Ellie.
Okay.
And so I've been upgrading her
like her health and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I bought one thing for her, but besides that, I grind up a bunch of money, and then I go drop it on the monster.
Well, I could tell you my strategy, which is I upgraded her luck a bunch so that she's more likely to find items from enemies,
mm-hmm.
so that I can use those items to level up my monster rather than buying the items directly.
That's
been my
smart
strategy. Yeah, it works okay. You're probably leveling up your guy way faster than me, but...
Yeah, because I'm really excited to see... I mean, you look at the box art, and he's humongous. So, mm-hmm. for me, I really want to see what he becomes. And I'm curious to see if I'm a little weaker, if he can pick up the slack. You know what I mean? He, it, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually more... The platforming and stuff is all fun, but I'm kind of letting it do its own thing, and I'm focusing on the monster because I want to see what this thing can do.
Sounds good. But yeah, overall, I'm very pleased with all three of these tail end DS games.
Yeah, I really, really like all of them, and I figure Monster Tail would be fun, but it snuck up on me a little bit, man, because, you know, these days I try not to watch videos on stuff so I don't get overhyped, and
yeah.
It's really, really cool. The world's cool. It's funny, just like Henry Hadsworth was funny. The animation's awesome. I like the character design. And just, I don't know, I kind of like the idea of the world. I mean, it makes sense to me that I would kind of like this, you know, being a huge Pokemon fan.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of having a creature that you train and level and, you know, use to battle. So, did you play anything else besides those three?
Not really.
All I play besides that was, like I said, I finally beat Okami. I don't know how many years that took. And I've been playing Zelda 2 like crazy.
You certainly have.
Go ahead.
And you certainly love it a lot, don't you?
I love hate it a lot.
Yeah.
There's not really much to get into about it right now. I'm gonna try and get through it and... I don't know. I'll probably definitely write something about it. And I don't know. It's okay.
I feel bad because I haven't really touched my Wii in a while.
How can you with all these stellar DS titles out right now, man?
It's very true. And then once the 3DS comes out,
yeah,
it's all over.
You're going to have to dust off your Wii in a couple months
when
that comes out.
I finally agree with all those idiots on the internet. All
right, dude. Let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to... We talk about the DS and I guess kind of say farewell to it. So we'll be right back. right, everyone, welcome back. I guess we should probably start at the beginning, Adam. So it was about, I don't remember the year particularly, but I remember I was playing Four Swords a lot, coming pretty close to when the DS came out, the original FAT, and all you could get then was like three games. What was it? Was like XXYY or what was that game called? Pin Pals or Ping? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're saying at all.
There was that, and then there was the 64 port, and you know, and the FAT came with a demo for Metroid Prime Hunters, and basically. When I first got the system, I played a bunch of that demo and Mario 64, which I'd already beaten 100 times. So, yeah. So I'm not going to say I was down on the system, but I was chomping at the bit for games.
That's weird. The 64 port was more than just a 64 port. You could play as Wario.
And Yoshi, and a lot of people complain about the controls in that game, but I actually thought they were pretty great, and I think they did a really good job porting that game down to the DS. Mm-hmm. But I'd already 100% completed that game like three times on the 64, so...
I did it once.
Right, so I don't know. I wasn't really in the mood to play that again. It wasn't until Mario Kart DS came out and Kirby's Canvas Curse for me... to when the system really started to click and I started to think, man, this is really something amazing.
But you had already had one, right?
Had one what?
A DS.
Yeah, at that point. I bought the FAT on launch.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, Canvas Curse was the first game that I saw for the system that I thought to myself that it could only be done on DS.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, made use of it in a way that was compelling to me. And that was when I finally bought a DS.
Right, and I can understand that. I was a homer and just got it because it was a Nintendo system, and I was so into GBA at that point and GameCube, it just made sense to me to move on to the next thing. But
and
I probably wouldn't have been able to resist once I saw Kirby's Canvas Curse.
Well, being like me would have required you to not be into handhelds all that much.
Right.
I was more of a console gamer at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Almost exclusively. Like, I played a couple of stuff on the other systems, but Game Boy-wise. But the thing is, I was always really interested in the DS because it was Nintendo. And I was always an adamant supporter of it during the initial starting of the PSP versus the DS wars.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I picked the right one, but
is that a dig at me?
No. I dig at anyway. but yeah, that was the first game that I really wanted, and I think I had recently got a check for my job and decided to blow all of it on buying a DS and Kirby Canvas Curse.
And that was the first game that I really wanted as well. And, even though I had the system already.
It's still one of my favorite games on the system.
Agreed. We never did a DS list. I assume we will someday, but it's definitely going to be pretty high up for me.
We certainly could at this point now that it's pretty much all out. Unless Thor, the DS game for the movie is way awesome.
It's way forward, and I've heard good things. Honestly, Adam, I've heard good things.
Really?
It's way forward, man. How can it not be at least, you know it's going to be polished at least.
Yeah, that's true. The movie kind of looks...
I'm not looking at the movie. I'm solely focusing on the fact that it's a platformer made by Way Forward.
Yeah, it's probably a good point then.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be awesome. We should wait for that then.
Yeah, might skirt into the top 20.
Most definitely.
Honestly, if we're gonna really broach that subject, I need some time to think on it because there's so many good DS games, man.
I guess we're gonna sort of touch on that, but
of course.
I'm trying to think of. I don't know if I can really attack this in a timeline sort of manner.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of some of the games that I really enjoyed on the FAT. A couple puzzle games come to mind. Like, you have to help me with the type. Is it Polarium?
Polarium. Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed that game. The music and just the aesthetic of the game was really cool.
Was Meteos out by that point?
Like, Meteos was going to be the other one I mentioned. On the Fat, that was probably the last, like, really awesome puzzle game I played on the Fat, mm-hmm. you know, before we moved on to the next DS.
I'm trying to think. I pretty much probably played Mario Kart and Kirby Canvas Curse on the DS original.
Until you got your next... That's probably something we should discuss now we've brought Mario Kart up a few times.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome it was to go online before everybody started snaking.
Yeah.
The first couple weeks of that game where everybody was just online racing. And it was,
it was more than a couple of weeks. I mean, I was able to get into decent matches for quite a while.
You could still get into them while people were snaking, honestly. You just had to be... For me, if I started a match and somebody was snaking, I immediately would just stop and start driving backwards.
That's weird, because I would do the same thing.
And then, you know, the race would end, and you go on to the next one, and hopefully, you know, you could always... I used to try and play with my friends more, because none of us snaked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so awesome that, you know, I was playing my handheld online. I mean, I've never done that before.
Yeah, it was really nice. It worked well.
Some games better than others, like all online. But Mario Kart was pretty strong right from the get-go.
Yes. I played that game tons and did a lot of going to local coffee shops and this one McDonald's just to play it online.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, was Star Fox out during the original?
If it was, I didn't own it at the time. I didn't play that until I had my Lite.
And what about Hunters?
Hunters, definitely, because, okay. You know, the strap only came with the Fat. I've been moving the same thumb strap from my original Fat. You know, I had moved that one all the way up to, like, my second DS Lite until my dog ate that, and then I went and bought another one off the Nintendo site, because that's how much I like that thumb strap. I'm actually kind of curious to why they did away with it, but...
Because it's stupid.
I like it, personally. I thought it worked. You didn't really play Hunters, though, right?
No.
It's essential for Hunters. My friend used to try and play with a stylus, and it was sloppy. It was too hard.
Huh. What about... if we can get into Star Fox later, if you want to talk about
going
into the DS Lite.
That would definitely be all you, Adam. I barely played that game. I do own it.
Oh, okay. I mean, I just... The online was decent. I didn't really like the main game of that, but I enjoyed playing the online a little bit. And then I got bored and stopped playing it.
See, it goes back to... This is a little off, so it goes back to what we've always said, though. It'd be way better if there was a co-op Star Fox online.
If you could play without touchscreen controls in that game. That'd have been nice.
I actually thought that was pretty cool. The thing about that game I didn't like was that it was all dogfights. I didn't like that it wasn't me, you know, rushing through a planet, coming up to a boss.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they were like, oh, Star Fox 1 has this really cool map. Let's make the whole game about that. And that's, I don't know, I could get into the RTS elements of a little bit, but what I really wanted to do was play Star Fox 1 on my DS, and that's not what I got.
Well, you'll soon be able to play Star Fox 64 on your 3DS, and that'll probably be pretty good.
For sure.
And I kind of hope that they include online in that.
Me too.
I think that's maybe why it's taking so long for them to come out with it. Or at least I'm hoping so.
Yeah, that would be really awesome. But
So, when did you buy DS Lite?
Launch date. I went up. It came out, you know, like a Sunday, like they always do now. And I went up that morning and got it.
Okay. I don't think I got it. I don't remember getting a DS Lite on launch either.
I don't even... Again, it's probably just... You know, the whole fanboy thing. I couldn't resist.
Well, see, my thing was I kind of bought a regular DS fairly late. I think I wasn't all that hesitant because to me it was definitely an upgrade worth getting.
And for
I can't believe some of the people who never upgraded, like A friend of mine.
No.
Well, my friend Chris never upgraded, and he recently bought a DSi for super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how he waited. He doesn't play that many DS games though either. That's probably the reason why. But I just couldn't imagine not upgrading the DS Lite. The screens were so much brighter, and
yep.
it looked so much nicer.
Four settings, Adam. Four brightness, mm-hmm. as opposed to the other one. I think only had like two or three.
And even like it was on or off, really.
Right, and just so much slicker, nicer in your hands.
Yes,
The directional. While it took on the squishy buttons that I didn't necessarily mind, I like the clicky better.
Me too.
The size of where everything was and the system in general, though, that made up for the squishiness of the buttons, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd say that and the sticking out of Game Boy Advance cartridges were the only downside to that guy.
True, and, you know, I don't know, for that reason, I really didn't play a ton of GBA on my DS Lite. I kind of stuck to, you know, I used my Advance and my Micro eventually. And I eventually just imported a Rumble Pack, you know, from PlayAsia that was the size of that little slot. So it looked like I had that little filler piece in, but it was a Rumble Pack. And that's kind of what I stuck with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really, really liked the Rumble Pack. I should have mentioned that, you know, before. So I definitely played Prime Hunters Pinball mm-hmm. on my DS Fat, and it came with the Rumble Pack. And I'll be honest, I bought it for the Rumble Pack. And I really wish there was more games that implemented it.
There aren't very many.
There's maybe like 7 or 8.
There's more than that, but there's not that many. I know that Super Princess Peach uses it.
Yup, and Custom Robo uses it. And
Hotel Dusk does.
That I wouldn't know.
I could look right now.
Obviously, Metroid Up Pinball used it.
Mm-hmm. Did Hunters use it?
I don't know. I'm not sure, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hotel Dust did use it. The thing was, I guess it wasn't that successful because it destroyed your battery life?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't notice that big of a difference, honestly. But, I mean, the DS Lite was so good on battery anyway. I mean, I don't know. I never really noticed that thing going down at all. I mean, you can get so many hours out of that system. So it was basically the perfection of, you know, the original DS.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, some other games, I guess, around that time that I was playing. The timeline in this is so weird. I'm terrible with time also.
A big one for me and having the new system made it possible in my mind would have been Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword. Because playing that on a DS Fat would have been impossible for me.
Yeah, I didn't really play that game.
I'm not surprised. It's, you know, it's not really your thing, but
it looked really nice. I know that.
If you like Ninja Gaiden, it's really good. And before they broke the leaderboards on that game, which honestly took about a week, it was really fun at least trying to compete and do combos. And honestly, the engine, there's no other engines really like it. It's, you know, it takes what Zelda does and kind of takes it to a whole nother level because such precise slicing and everything just to do all your crazy combos.
I wonder if that didn't sell well, because I'm surprised they never made a sequel for that.
I'm assuming it didn't. I mean, I don't know. It couldn't have, you know, because I mean, how many games did Team Ninja put on the DS? I mean, it's probably the only one.
Not many.
So you would think that they would want it. With the DS having so much market share, you think that if it did even kind of okay, that they'd be trying to push something else out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with that engine already in place. I mean,
yeah. And it seemed like it was well made.
It was solid, Adam. It was fixed camera, so all the backgrounds looked like really detailed, and then, you know, and your character moved freely in them. I guess maybe people wanted more of a behind the back view, but I mean, you know, if you want that, go get Ninja Gaiden on the next gen consoles.
I think the biggest problem was that the fans of the modern day Ninja Gaiden wouldn't want to play a game like that. A lot of them, at least.
Yeah, they're not like me, I guess, because I'm a fan of both.
Well, most of them seem, to get off topic a little bit, most of them seem just, like, more focused on it being super hard and being super, like, violent kind of thing.
That's true. And while this game is pretty violent and they kind of keep that flavor, it's obviously you're not seeing limbs being, you know, cut off like in Ninja Gaiden 2. So, but I like the DS game better than those games, so...
There you go. Some other games that I also played a lot during that time period, Tetris DS.
Which I played but never owned and still haven't been able to find it at a decent price.
It's probably less expensive now that there's been other iterations of Tetris coming out, but I still think it's one of the better Tetris games. Right up there with the original NES game and also the Game Boy Color. Tetris DX was really good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Better than the original Game Boy one.
So, while you were playing stuff like that, you know, first party, good, like, games, this is when I kind of got into importing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said earlier, I imported the Rumble Pack. I also imported, Kagi no Densetsu, you know, Legend of Cage 2. Which obviously came out here a couple years later, but...
It did.
But I didn't know that at the time, and I really wanted to play it. I imported that. I imported the first Bleach game that was on the DS. And I imported what is one of my all-time favorite DS games, Jump.
Yeah, you really like that, and I've never played it before.
And I wanted to get to that, because that's pretty much what I played on my DS Lite.
Yeah.
So... With the exception, you know, and Pokemon. Those were the two, those are probably the two biggest titles I spent the most time on my DS Lite with.
Well, I don't know. I think it might have gone through like a lull. What time period was this in?
Would have been, what, 3-4 years ago?
Because I remember getting Pokemon and not being all that into it.
And I was super into it. For me, it was awesome, you know, because you were using the touchscreen a little bit, and, you know, the graphics were boosted up, and there was new guys, and they had already begun to work on streamlining the boxes and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was really good. The story was, but again, I barely play Pokemon games for story anyway, so.
Yeah, let me think here.
You were probably playing N Plus and Bongo Spirits, which was probably like...
No, you were probably playing those. I wasn't.
Well, that was like my next year obsession. It was like kind of went in cycles. So I was playing a lot of Jump and then, you know, Pokemon somewhere around in there. And then I was obsessed with Bongo Spirits and N Plus, which are two really, really good DS games.
My play thing has been kind of sporadic for the most part until recently, where I would just occasionally I'd get something and play it until I beat it, and then I wouldn't, you know, I'd focus more on the Wii, I guess, at that point. Still.
Right. Henry Hatsworth would have been coming out around.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, time. We skipped on something. I just thought of a game.
Super Mario Brothers.
I never played New Super Mario Brothers. I think I was off put by the floatingness of it, which I got over with that weirdness with the Wii version.
Didn't that come out pretty close to when the DS Lite actually came out?
It might have. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what they were pushing it with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember getting that game pretty early, and you know, it was an awesome Mario game. Go ahead.
Did you play any of the Castlevanias?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess I should have mentioned one of my other favorites on the fat was... My favorite Castlevania game, period, is Dawn of Sorrow. The first DS game.
I never played that one, but...
That's the one where you're actually drawing the seals to seal up bosses. I really, really like that game. It's a really long game, and it Soma's my favorite Castlevania character, so I was ready for more after the last GBA game.
What about, like, The World Ends With You, when did that come out?
That was probably right around Henry, a little bit later to Henry Hatsworth, maybe a little before, somewhere around in that time period.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's another, easily in my top 10. And, another game that really, really showed what the DS could do.
The DS is full of weird stuff, too.
Custom Robo was kind of in there. I think that was kind of a sleeper.
Most definitely. Despite liking the GameCube version, never got that.
Right. And I was pretty big into that for a little while. I mean, it maybe took about a month of my time. I was kind of focused on that game.
Yeah, I was still at that point. I don't know. It wasn't until, I'm trying to think of when I started to buy a ton of DS games.
Time I'm going pretty full bore. I'm buying.
How many games do you have? You have way more than I do.
I think I'm up around 100 now. I've got almost 4 books filled. They're all various sizes, but I constantly run out of room and have to buy new books. It's slowed down within the last maybe year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
For a while there, I was on a kick where I was probably buying 5 DS games a month. Just in the new ones that came out, digging through the bargain bin. That's what's cool about portables, man. It gives you a little more room to try stuff you might not normally try.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Because, it's a little bit cheaper. I mean, when you're finding games for $10-$15, I mean, why not?
Yeah, I think for me it wasn't until maybe Kirby Superstar Ultra came out where I started buying a lot of DS stuff.
And I didn't buy that.
I bought it even though I have played the Super Nintendo. It's my favorite Kirby game.
Mm-hmm.
And I beat it in one night. Because wow. I beat it except for the new thing where you play through the arena with the helpers only.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard. But I beat everything from the original version in one night, including getting all the items in the Indiana Jones game.
Yeah, I could see. I guess you probably like that the most because it's structurally different.
Yeah, I like the abilities. I like all the abilities and how they have different attacks depending on if you're pressing up or pushing over and stuff like that. I also really liked some of the level structure is really well done. I don't know why I can't think of it, but the one where you're in the cavern, you have to find all the items. I like that kind of, it almost has a bit of a Metroid feel to it in the same, but not as much as Amazing Mirror does. It also has a lot of variety in the gameplay, even though it's still based around normal Kirby gameplay.
Yeah. I don't know what it was about that game. And when it was getting close to coming out, I played the ROM of the Super NES game, give it a shot, and it was fun, but where Canvas Curse, I liked that it was totally different.
Mm-hmm.
There was just something about that game that, put me off.
Hmm.
Maybe that's I should weird. Give it another shot.
I think you should, because I really do hold it as being the best side-scrolling Kirby game.
Do you feel that it's something that I have to play on the DS? That version, or
you can play. I mean, you could really play either version. They're both really solid. I mean, the same thing essentially. So it doesn't really it doesn't really matter. I would recommend playing through all the different games that you unlock and stuff because it is a really good game. But I mean, after that point, then I was buying the Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles games on the DS.
Yep, me as well.
Zelda
Phantom Hourglass, which we have. Different opinions on.
I don't like it as much. I never actually beat it. And then Spirit Tracks I actually like a lot more for some weird reason.
And I haven't finished Spirit Tracks, but I really like that game and I really liked Phantom Hourglass. And I think Ninja Gaiden came out before Phantom Hourglass.
Mm-hmm.
And I ever since I played that game, I was really interested in anything where you were just strictly controlling with the touchscreen. I think that's a really, obviously since Kirby's Canvas Curse, I was into that idea of gameplay, that and holding the system book form and anything focused solely on the touchscreen. I don't know, it's just, those tend to be some of the more interesting games to me.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's about the time that we started gaming together.
Yep, that's true. When
when I was playing Final Fantasy.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we got Phantasy Star, which is also really good.
Yep. We were at DSI by the time we were playing Phantasy Star, right?
Yes, because I remember around that time having to re-exchange friend codes, which was annoying, just because I had a new system which gave me new friend codes.
Did you... So, we could go ahead and move on to that at this point. Did you get DSI at launch?
I think I did.
Midnight, or did you, pick it up the next day or something?
If we had a midnight sale, I bought it at midnight.
Right. I hear you. Well, I definitely got
I pre-ordered it. I remember pre-ordering it. I saw the benefit of getting that one as well, just because I was really excited about the idea of downloads. The camera thing wasn't as interesting to me, but...
It was the downloads for me, too. And so this is a big step for you, though, Adam. You're pre-ordering a portable system now.
Yeah. The DS has turned me into a portable gamer, which is a very daunting feat, I think.
Yeah, I mean, for someone who seems so console... concerned. I've always been obsessed with portables ever since the Game Boy. Even before then, ever since Tiger handhelds. So, I mean, it was...
Yeah, all these big into Tiger handhelds.
Yeah, I mean, who wasn't when we were kids?
Yeah.
I'm staring at my Paperboy Tiger handheld as we speak.
I had even though I never owned a Sega product until the Dreamcast, I had a Sonic the Hedgehog Tiger handheld.
It's awesome.
I'm surprised they haven't done Tiger handhelds for... maybe they could bring those to the eShop on the 3DS.
Yeah, that would be totally cool. They could do that one where you're wearing the helmet with the Saiyan energy level reader in Dragon Ball Z, where it had the fighting game. It was supposed to be in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that thing where you actually scan the cards?
Yeah, I do actually.
That thing was such a piece of poop.
I don't know, the thing about the DS to me, and what makes it so great, is that previously, all I ever saw on handhelds were mostly things that could have been done on a console.
Years scaled before. Down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
And the DS, with the touchscreen and the two screens, really brought something that... new that you can't really do anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly I saw the benefit of having a handheld and being able to play all these games that I, otherwise wouldn't even be able to experience anything like it. If you look in the past, any kind of games that you could play on the Game Boy Advance or the original Game Boy or the Color, I mean, you could get similar experiences on the console, but not anymore. And I think that's what really has brought it to me. I mean, certainly I play games that could be done on a console still, but,
mm-hmm.
Other stuff like Canvas Curse or even the way, even though Rhythm Heaven was on the Game Boy Advance, the way you play it on the DS.
It's better.
And the actual tapping, it's not as I don't think it's as precise as maybe just tapping a button,
mm-hmm.
but you can do so much more with the sliding and stuff like that.
And even games, let's say we mentioned Meteos earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could use the directional pad, but it was more fun using the way more fun and way more efficient.
I only ever got to play that game. When I was hanging out with some of my friends that had it. But when I did, that game was actually pretty cool.
I've got pretty obsessed over... I actually pop that in every once in a while still. It's a really cool mechanic.
Did you ever buy the Disney-themed Meteos?
No, but I did go to Walmart and download the demo and played it. It was cool because then you could finally play it in book form. So mm-hmm. it was almost worth getting for that, but I had so many great scores on the one I'd already played, I didn't feel like moving up to the next one.
I think we failed to mention also that the DS has done a good job of bringing other gamers into the fold.
Yeah, it's kind of a bridge system.
It's an everyman's or woman's game.
Even people that scream baby system all day long, for some reason, a lot of times the DS is left out of it.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I mean, because it just has variety. But I mean, if you look at Nintendogs. was amazingly successful. And then the Brain Age series, which spawned tons of copycats.
I mean, how could the Brain Age fail? You're up, you're at your, you know, you're at GameStop and you're checking out, and there's a, all of a sudden there's a little cardboard box with DS games in it for $20 by Nintendo. I hadn't even really been following the game. I was picking up something else, and I saw it was like $20. All right, let's do it.
That was what got you to get it?
Yeah, I mean, because before then, I'd never ever seen a game like that just on display in front of a cash register.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was pretty cool. I assume that was Nintendo's marketing that did that.
It was. Huh. Maybe that's why they keep doing that. Because that's something that they're the only ones that ever do that, and that's weird.
Yeah, now it's like old hat because they've done it a bunch of times. But that, I don't know, it's pretty cool. It was like
I would have never thought that would work.
It worked on me.
You're blowing me away here.
So we got our DSIs, and most people were complaining that it's not worth it. Who cares about the other camera? You know, who cares about the DSI shop? But it was the DSI shop that definitely sold it for me.
You know, and it may have started off slow. And I mean, even at this point, there's enough there to really make it worth it. Right. All the art style games that came out for it.
So what I was going to ask you, you know, not to get past what we were trying to talk about, but what particular DSI game really sold the... you know, sold it for you.
Nothing. I mean, it was, I was going to get it anyway. It was just like the potential of having the same kind of like WiiWare experience for, a handheld. Now I was expecting something different than what we actually got to some extent, because I was expecting more stuff like Cave Story, like more,
right, me too,
like retro-iness, a lot of platform. I was expecting a lot of platformers, a lot of like side-scrolling shooters,
mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff that you would expect to see on like the NES, and to some extent the Super NES. And there's certainly some good ones in there, but
yeah, Dark Void Zero, Shantae.
Yeah.
Cave Story.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, WayForward's Mighty Flip Champs is another good one.
Yep.
There's a lot. And then there's other stuff that I want to get but haven't yet for some reason. Like, there's a game that I think you might have gotten it when I showed you the video for it, but that it looks like Castlevania.
Yeah, I did, and don't.
Don't get it?
No, it's just the premise is great, but it's just not as polished. You know, you'd rather play, if you're gonna get a cast, you know, get a whatever the last one was. I can't remember the name of it now.
I have that.
Yeah, and that was probably one of the last light games, right? Or did that come out on the DSi? I'm trying to remember now.
I don't remember. It doesn't super matter, I guess, but it's another good one. But yeah, there's enough to warrant getting the DSi, I think. And, you know, I think more people are going to definitely be upgrading to the 3DS.
Yeah, and
they'll have access to all those.
Especially since we can take our stuff with us.
Well, that's nice for us, but, you know, it'll also bring all of those games that are on there now to anybody who gets the 3DS. Because they're going to be available in the store.
And there's definitely a lot of stuff. I mean, I've been dissatisfied with a few games that I've bought, but I filled my memory a long time ago. And I still, you know, I still buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All the GG games right now, for instance, are so far, they've all been fun. I mean, some of them are not as good as that first Ninja game is probably still their best, but
mm-hmm.
So far I've enjoyed what they've been putting out, and they're $2. I mean,
yeah,
that's the kind of great stuff you can get on there. And I don't know, art, like you said, art style, that's probably when I was really like, okay, DSi is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
When I started buying up, you know, all the art style games that were coming out.
We can talk about this a little bit, but I would say the only downside to it is, for whatever reason, anything that gets developed for it that might happen to also be on, like, the iOS, maybe. It always seems to be a little bit or significantly more expensive on the DS.
Yes, for sure.
And not like even have EA as much games. Content. Yeah, the EA seems to...
And Game Loft, they like to jack it up.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Now, I mean, you didn't end up... We would have probably bought Scrabble.
Oh, I forgot all about this. This was like this was like a week of us complaining to each other.
Yeah, because it didn't have online, was it?
Yeah, and on the iPhone and you know half the other cell phones, it did. And it was cheaper.
Yeah, and I never understood that. And I really wanted to play Scrabble.
Yeah, we were talking about that game before it even came out, which we rarely do about DSi game or DSiWare games. And it was definitely a bummer when we looked at the description and there was no online in it.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know if it has something to do with Nintendo on that, or if it actually is EA just pricing stuff weird and not adding enough content to it.
Yeah, I mean, even Bomberman, which was cheaper. I think Bomberman was like maybe five, maybe not even. I can't remember, honestly, but it has online. And there's definitely more going on in that game than there was on Scrabble.
Yeah, I mean, I think Uno has online. There's certainly stuff that, and I was kind of expecting, you know, for stuff that, you know, those small little games to have like that online component.
Yeah, me too. But I mean, we've heard through various people that those games don't sell, so it makes sense that they don't want to put too much money into them.
We would have both bought them, but
for sure. I mean, we're. The problem is, you know, we're the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, and Nintendo knows this. Both the Wii and the DSiWare store don't get the advertisement that they deserve due to the way they're set up, and I guess some, you know, a couple of other reasons.
And the scope of the games, and I mean, I doubt they have the kind of budgets in these games to even do any kind of real advertisement.
I'm talking about just like Nintendo within the system. I know they kind of expect Nintendo to carry them, you know, just because they're lucky enough to be on the system, I guess. But the way that the eShop is going to work, it seems like it's going to be a lot more integrated and actually bring more people to checking it out.
Seems like they're kind of getting a grasp on online a little bit. It's not like this scary new thing they're adding into their new systems.
Yeah, you know, it's rare that someone comes into my store and buys a Wii points card or a Nintendo points card at this point. And so I almost always ask them what they plan on getting. Just because I'm interested
I'm that
to
guy.
See
I'm the guy
just to see cards. you know what people are actually buying when they're getting those cards.
Yep, and, for sure.
Occasionally it happens, and every once in a while it's like a kid or sometimes an adult. I don't know how well Cave Story sold.
So, I wouldn't say DSiWare was a failure, but I think we should close out our DSi discussion on a good note. We could just say, starting with Ghost Trick, I mean, these are probably four of the best DS games that have come out. And yeah, you know, it's a good send off.
Oh, and most definitely.
It you know even you know maybe that Wave 4 game will be good too, and then we'll have five you know really good titles to say goodbye to the TS because I'll be saying goodbye to mine on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's kind of insane these last few games and how much quality is in them.
For sure, and I wish there were more. More games that had come out through its life kind of like this. It seems like it's weird that all these companies are putting out, you know, they're like last-ditch games, and they're some of the best that these companies have put out. Like Capcom. Yeah. Capcom's put out three of their best DS games. I mean, it's crazy that they pushed them all out here at the end.
What's the third one? Your Ghost Trick, Okami Den?
Yeah, why am I saying three?
Yeah, I don't know.
Two.
It's weird that they're both coming from Capcom, though, at the tail end. And then we got a Nintendo and a Majesco title of all
things. Right.
Although it's actually developed by Game Rift.
Yes. Which is, I guess that's new. I don't think they had that name when they were working for EA Tiburon.
Yeah, they went by a different name, but if you go to their website, they list all the titles that group of people have done, and it's quite a bit of games.
Yeah, why was I thinking of three Capcom games? Was I thinking of Street Fighter or something?
I don't know.
It's not even out yet.
I don't even know, but and there's actually still there's still some games I guess that could come out. There's another one of the, not Phoenix Wright, but the other dude. There's another one of those that came out in Japan recently that could come out here, I guess, but I don't know that it will.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question, really. Do you think we will still get some more quality titles even as the 3DS is going along?
Well, we can talk about the future of the DS after it's dead, but Nintendo has said that they were working on some translating of games, and while you would think that they would be for the Wii because they really haven't said anything about games coming out for the Wii, beyond Zelda, as far as Nintendo's side of things, and they have mentioned that they're working on translating some stuff that previously hasn't come out in other regions.
Okay.
But that could mean, you know, finally getting that last DS Professor Layton game out.
Right.
It could also mean Wii stuff, I guess, but there's still stuff that hasn't come over that they could put out here for the DS.
I'll just close out my ending of the DS. There was two other titles that I feel I should mention that came out towards the end. Picross 3D,
which is
really good, and my third Capcom game, but I'm not going to pretend like this is what I was thinking of. The Zero Collection for me is really cool, and I really like collection games, and the Zero game, they added a whole bunch of stuff to it. So they kept the controls perfect from the GBA, ported it over great, and added to it.
Did you ever play any of the Mega Man games?
Yes, I have them both, and those are really, really good Mega Man games.
I'm talking about the Battle Network games or whatever.
Those are really good as well. I played those on the GBA and I played on the DS.
And there's like 100 of those, right?
Yeah, and I kind of fell off eventually. But I was there for probably the first three I was really into. So I forget which number the DS one was. I might have skipped the title on the GBA. I did play that one a little bit. By then I was pretty burnt out on them. But the Advent, ZX Advent and ZX are really, really good Mega Man games that might have been overlooked. I'm not sure how they did.
I don't know, because I'm not that into Mega Man.
And they did have things, not going to say that it would have been impossible to do on a regular handheld, but the touchscreen did definitely come into play on those games. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? You want to close us out?
Yeah,
or
I guess we should probably go ahead and, you know, we'll take a break and, I don't know, goodbye DS. I can't wait to get my 3DS on Saturday.
Sunday.
Technically Sunday. I'll be lined up, you know, like 11 o'clock Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's go ahead and take a break and we'll come back. We'll hit a little news and close out the show. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Now I'm going to rush through some slight news, mostly just release dates. Let's see here. In the next week, we're going to get Lego Star Wars 3, which and will probably...
We were talking about the commercial.
Yes. A lot of people seem to really like the commercial.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious, in my opinion. It's not swaying me to buy the game, but it's a good premise. And, you know, anybody that played those games knows that is the premise of the game. It's goofy little videos between the levels, really.
And I've played the demo for, like, the console version.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the flying stuff was actually pretty interesting.
Is it like Rogue Squadron-esque?
It's not that deep or anything, but, I mean, you're flying around shooting stuff.
Okay.
What I think is really cool about it is you're flying around, you can pick spots to land in. They're like landing zones, and then you can run around as your Lego character and then get back in the ship, fly somewhere else, land in a different spot. So
that's pretty cool. They did have ship levels and stuff in all the other games, but nothing that detailed where it was actually, you know, meshing the gameplays together.
Yeah. So I kinda liked that. And that's on the 22nd, which is today, I guess, isn't it? Yeah, so that's out today. And then also Trackmania is actually supposed to finally come out. Even though I said that,
come on, really?
A couple weeks ago, got delayed, and now it's
been delayed a bunch, hasn't it, man?
Yeah, well, it was delayed even a couple weeks ago, or about a month ago, whenever we did a recording, and I thought it was coming out. So,
right,
I'm getting confirmation from multiple sites, like GameStop site, Amazon, GameFAQs are all saying around the same date. So I'm assuming it's actually going to come out this time. My only concern now at this point is I'm not sure if the online is still intact in the game, like the other, which has been out in Europe for a while. I don't know why such a problem in the U.S.
You sold me on it, though. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get it. And I don't even like racing games.
Well, there you go. It does look pretty cool, though. And then other than that, We have to look forward to playing the 3DS. So 3DS is coming out on the 27th, along with a bunch of games. I've been coaxed into getting Super Street Fighter.
Even though you won't play it.
Even though I won't play it, rather than you whining about it, I'll be whining about it.
Do you have a list of the release titles, Adam?
Maybe one second.
You could list a few off the top of your head.
Well, there's Nintendogs.
Plus Cats.
All three versions. Yeah, plus Cats, which are like, oh, there's Cats there too. They don't really... I feel like they really gypped the Cats in that game, which is kind of unfortunate. We also have Asphalt 3D Nitro Racing coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Combat of the Giants, which is a Ubisoft dinosaur game. Doesn't look that good.
Right.
Ridge Racer. The only good thing about it is the fact that they yell at you that you're in someone's slipstream or if someone else is in your slipstream. And I thought that was pretty funny.
That's funny.
There's the Ghost Recon game, which actually is just like a Game Boy. It's like a Advance Wars style game.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty good. There's a soccer game. There is, which is Pro Evolution Soccer. I think Bust a Move is supposed to come out. Lego Star Wars will be out then. A crappy Madden game with no multiplayer.
Oh, wow.
Which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Pilot with Driver, Samurai Warriors, Super Monkey Ball, and Street Fighter, to name a few.
And then Pilot Wings and Steel Diver, I think that closes out Nintendo.
Yeah.
For launch. So, I mean, yeah, I feel a little DS fat with this, honestly. There's not too many titles I'm interested in, but there's a whole bunch that are supposed to be coming out in the next 3 months. So,
yes, they're launch window titles. There's a lot of really good ones within that. So we've got plenty to look forward to.
And I'm guessing they'll be updating the store pretty frequently, especially in the beginning. And
What I hear, I guess, Zelda Link's Awakening and Mario Land are going to be the first games available, at least, if not more, so, as far as downloads.
And I might get Link's Awakening again.
I'm going to get it again because it's going to have the dungeon from the Game Boy Color version that I never played.
Oh, neither have I, so I'll be picking it up as well.
And it looks so good. It doesn't, having it be in full color and then not be on a non-backlit screen, because I never played it on anything other than a Game Boy Pocket. So it'll look a lot different to me. It'll look more like an Oracle's game.
I mean, I originally played it on the GBA for the first. That's how I first played it, but it was not full color because I have one of the original cards. So I don't even have the DX color version. Okay. So I'm probably with you, Adam. I'll probably definitely pick it up.
And I will probably be downloading Mario Land because I've never actually beaten it.
Oh, man, that's one of my favorite Mario games. When I was a kid, I probably should have said this in the last segment, but real quick, when I was a kid, for a while, all I had was Tetris and Mario Land, so I'd probably beat Mario Land like 20 times. It's like all I had to. I would get to level 14 of Tetris, and then I'd go beat Mario Land. That was kind of my routine. So,
That's pretty big news. 3DS finally coming out. Don't have to wait anymore. But that's about it.
Okay. So, everybody can basically get a hold of us the best by going to our website, which is wearefanboys.com. And I've been trying to post a bunch lately.
You've been doing a good job.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Once a day, ever since you really showed me how great the WordPress app is.
Yeah.
It's made it a lot easier. I can try and work on stuff through the day and in between, like when I'm taking a break on my job. And, you know, we're hoping that the listeners of this show can kind of migrate over there and we can, I don't know, try to build a little community up and talk about the 3DS, basically, because that's what we'll be doing until Zelda comes out.
Yeah. I will also say that if on the page that's going to be for this podcast, after you've listened to it, we failed to mention a lot of games that were really good on the DS and things that we liked about the DS.
And we'd love to have a discussion about it with anybody that's, you know, we're looking for more people like us that want to talk about great games.
Great Nintendo games.
So, please check out the website. Please subscribe. Please review if you can.
There's a way to email us on the website, so you can shoot us questions and comments.
If you use the email tab, it comes to both of us, so we'll both probably answer you. So feel free to do that. Check out the website, and until next week, have a nice week.